Aloha and welcome to HMA Connect, the podcast program of the Hawaii Medical Association. Established in 1856, HMA is dedicated to serving physicians, their patients, and the community. I am Mark Alexander, Executive Director of HMA, and it is my pleasure to be your host for today's podcast. Our guest today is Kai Sternstein. Ms. Sternstein is the Vice President of the American Medical Association's Advocacy Resource Center, the state legislative and regulatory arm of the AMA. The ARC's work is focused on critical issues such as physician wellness, scope of practice, prior authorization, and telehealth. Good afternoon. I'm here with Kai Sternstein. Thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate the opportunity to get together with you.
Thank you, Mark. It's so good to be here.
So let's begin. You know, please tell our audience, our listeners, a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Thank you. Like I said, it's really great to be here. So my name is Kai Sternstein. I'm the vice president of the AMA's Advocacy Resource Center, which is essentially the AMA's state government affairs team. We're located in Chicago. And I've been at the AMA for a really long time. I'm an attorney by practice. Spent the vast majority of my career defending physicians in medical malpractice cases, but eventually wandered over to the AMA because I wanted to get involved more on the health policy side of things and move the needle with state legislatures across the country. And I was lucky enough to be hired by the AMA way back in 2001.
That's great. You know, we just finished this two-day conference here in Idaho,
yes.
And it was certainly very interesting, all the different subjects that were covered.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit more about the breadth of ARC's mission?
Yes, sure. So we're dedicated to working directly with both state medical associations and national medical specialty societies and their state chapters to enact state laws and regulations within the context of a common health policy, state health policy agenda. We work closely with state medical associations to either help enact legislation and regulation that is favorable to physicians and their patients, or to defeat legislation and regulation when it is not in the best interest of physicians and their patients. And it's really an incredible honor to do the work that we do. It is exciting work. We work in red states, blue states, purple states. We're crafting solutions with everyone so long as it's consistent with our AMA policy. We have a lot of latitude to work with states to make things as vibrant and good as possible, to make sure that the practice environment for physicians is stable and allows for the innovation and the support that physicians need to be the best that they can be for their patients.
You folks really are a resource center. Mm. I know since I've been on this position, I've had to turn to your staff, your team, many times to address issues, whether it's around the Interstate Medical Licensure Compact or something with Medicaid reimbursements and everything. The breadth of the resources you offer is really amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, we're called the Resource Center for a reason. So a lot of people wonder how we work at the AMA. How does the AMA engage with state medical associations? I think it's really important for people to understand, first of all, that our work is guided by a really strong policy that lays out that we do not enter states and activate our advocacy without the express collaboration and invitation by a state medical association. So you will never see the AMA in the state of Hawaii, for example, on its own without your knowledge and collaboration advocating on any issue whatsoever. We work really closely with state medical associations across the country. I think that policy is the fundamental piece of why we have such a great relationship. We deeply respect the state medical associations and their guidance. They are the boots on the ground. You know what's happening in your state much better than the umbrella organization like the AMA. But where we can come in is we have resources, perhaps resources that you don't have or may not want to deploy in specific space. We can bring the resources of the AMA to positively impact your work. So we, at the state level, take that and run with it and create things like model legislation and talking points and Q&A and testimony. We refer to ourselves, we're a small but mighty group. We're 9 attorneys. We're all attorneys. So we have the competency to be able to analyze legislation, to write the legislation, to help state medical associations in real time negotiate language. We can help identify best practices across the country, because for the AMA, and one of the things I think that we bring in that's unique, we track legislation across the entire country. We see trends happening that perhaps, you know, you might not see in Hawaii because you're working on your Hawaii-based issues and your environment there, and you might not realize what's coming your way, or the next big thing that's happening, or the micro trend that we're now seeing taking root in states and moving across the country. So we offer that kind of analysis, that eagle view from up high, but then really dig deep to be able to create those types of materials. Anything that state medical associations need, we do everything we can to provide that. So, and it's not just the model bills or the testimony. We also have the ability to testify if you need us to have our board members testify, to help you get your members to testify. But we also create other types of tools, maps that lay out practice locations of physicians, for example, to help look at workforce issues, or if you're battling a scope of practice issue, we actually have maps. And this all has been generated from the bottom up. So physicians, your physicians asking us to do something. We need data. We need evidence. We're only working based on anecdote. We need more than that. And then we come together, my team, along with our federal colleagues and the amazing amount of expertise and experts that we have at the AMA, to think about how can we get at that evidence? What do we need to create? What is that tool that can help states get issues across the finish line?
That certainly has been my experience, the way you folks have been a resource and ready to assist. And the resources that you develop, when I share them with legislators or with our physicians, they're really concise. They're able to be digested by people that don't spend their whole life looking at this.
That's right.
And the analysis that you provide, and even the micro websites that you provide on specific topics like scope of practice, are exceedingly helpful.
Yeah. So we try to create spaces for physicians and for state medical associations, government relations staff, and CEOs to be able to go to have access to these resources. So they're easy to access, because I understand the AMA is a big organization, sometimes hard to navigate. So we're always thinking about what can we do to make our materials accessible. We're attorneys, and we recognize sometimes we like words and we spend a lot of time down deep in the weeds, and sometimes we have to pull ourselves up, and we are lucky enough, again, this is where the resources of the AMA come in, to have folks that have communications expertise that can say to me or my team, hey, Kai, this is great. This 10-page document is wonderful, but we need to get this down to one page, and we need to have it at a certain reading level, so that when you have 3 minutes with your legislator, or your physician has 3 minutes to make a case, or even 30 seconds to have that one pager that's a leave behind, number one, it can be as a leave behind, but also that can succinctly summarize what it is that you're asking, what are the top level communication messages that make your point, that will resonate and stick in the brain of a legislator that has a lot of people coming to him or her asking them for any sort of ask, any sort of solution. We want them to remember your ask. We want you to win at the end of the day. And so we do everything we can to try to get you the tools, not just the tools, but have them be in a way that is easily consumed by the people you're trying to influence.
Yeah, attractive and accessible. You throw a few pictures in there with the graphs.
That's right.
And we really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Exceedingly helpful. And also, one of the things I really appreciate is how you'll co-brand them.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I think is really nice. The AMA logo and our own logo.
Yes.
And I think that's very helpful, because it doesn't look like just something from outside.
Yes.
Or something that we just sort of made up on our own.
Well, we deeply respect, and this is, again, this is about the relationship that we have with state medical associations across the country. So if I'm working with you, Mark, and you tell me, like, look, I need this one pager, this map, and it would be great if we could co-brand. Of course we could co-brand. If you told us that we need this one pager, but we need it just to be branded by the Hawaii Medical Association, for a variety of reasons. That's fine with us too. I mean, I think sometimes people think that the AMA, there's an impression of the AMA and how we operate and that we kind of bigfoot our way around. I have to push back against that. I think we, at least our advocacy business unit, and that includes our DC office, I've never worked with more accessible people.
Yes.
And that really respect state medical associations as their own individual associations. We provide these resources. We want to work with you, but we respect you so much in terms of your knowledge of what's happening on the ground. And if the AMA's logo potentially is detrimental because there's an issue, because we're an outside organization, we're a national organization, and you think that it would be better to have it be branded, whatever the material is, just by the Hawaii Medical Association, I will spend all my time putting together material for you to brand if that's what you think will help you win. If you think it's mutually beneficial, or if you think it's beneficial to have the AMA brand, fantastic. We love that. But it's not a requirement, and it's all just based on the respect that we have for state medical associations to know what they need. So much of our work is behind the scenes, and I'm completely okay with that. That's how we hum as a family together.
I have to say, it's really been my experience, too, that you folks will do whatever is needed in order to help move the issue forward, help our physicians, their patients, and the community.
Yeah.
And it's something I really appreciate. It also makes it really easy to be vulnerable, to be able to say, hey, you know, we really don't know what we're doing on this, or
yeah,
we need your guidance or wisdom. Please, this isn't working, or we're not sure how to proceed. We can trust that you will give us the best guidance and information and resources and draw on whatever experience and data that you have in order, again, to benefit the physicians, patients, and community.
Yeah, we're really committed to that. And I think one of the unique things that the AMA brings to the table is this ability to bring together all of medicine. And it's really important for all of us to stand together, not just be limited and only thinking about what's important in one state or one town or one county. We are a big family of medicine, and we're taking care of America's patients. And I do think that the unique role, something that the AMA, and I don't know that people consider this, but we convene. It's a really big, big thing. So you talked about being here right now for our state advocacy roundtable. It's a really unique meeting. And again, I don't know that many organizations could do something like this. This is the role for the AMA. We had 37 states represented at this meeting, wow, CEOs, heads of government affairs, anybody that does lobbying at the state level, touches lobbying, general counsels. These folks do all sorts of things at the state level. And we bring them together. We had 22 national medical specialty societies represented here in a room for 2.5 days, talking about the hardest issues that we're all working on, learning from one another, sharing strategy, being vulnerable, like you said, knowing mm-hmm. that this is a safe yeah. space. Nobody's videotaping or taping, you know, what people are saying, could be honest about difficulties on issues, difficulties experienced, also pathways to success, unique opportunities for collaboration with other stakeholders within healthcare, if where appropriate. Just the multifaceted world that we all function in, we can't do this alone. We certainly can't do our work without physicians. They are the inspiration behind everything that we do. But I feel really strongly about the power of all of us working together and learning from one another. And that's the thing that the AMA, it's unique. It's in our wheelhouse to bring people together so that you, Mark, don't have to feel like you're alone and dealing with an issue, because I can guarantee that any issue that's coming up to you has been experienced by right. someone in our federation.
Right.
And so somebody has some guidance for you. Somebody has legislative language for you, some testimony that they've written, talking points that they have. We can bridge all of that together, bring all of that together in a variety of ways. So in addition to helping individual states do their thing, we also have this convening role that I think is really important.
No, and it's really important, too, to acknowledge that you make it possible for smaller states to participate, you know, like giving, you know, me a scholarship so
yes.
that if this
yes.
is something that was truly, you know, affordable
yes.
for our medical association.
Yes.
And that generosity underscores, I think, the commitment you have to all states, not just the big states
yes.
or, you know, this or that state, but
yes.
to all of us.
Indeed. My team, we're very sensitive to that. I've always said that when it comes to our meetings that we're responsible for, and I have the support of my boss in that runs advocacy for the AMA, money should never be an issue in terms of attending attending the meetings that we're responsible for. Resources, again, this is what AMA can bring to bear. So I don't have a multi-bajillion dollar budget, but I will prioritize getting people like you, Mark, to meetings. Especially, I look for small states. We get it. You know, resources are strapped. I want you spending your resources where you need to make an impact in your state. But I also, your voice has been so instrumental. Your engagement here at this meeting, so fantastic. And I think it's, again, it creates that vibrant environment. You don't want the same people, just the states with the mega resources being able to come to these meetings. You learn nothing. Like, those people have the mega resources, right? They've got the staffs and all that. So we've got to bring all of us together. And we're crafting solutions for my team, for all of you. So, you know, we can't do our work without hearing your perspective.
And it's something that's very much appreciated, you know, by our leadership, too.
I appreciate you saying that. And I have to say that, you know, in addition to just my staff leadership, I mean, we have tremendous support for our unit and for the advocacy business unit by our board and our physician leadership. And you and I have talked about scope of practice a lot. We've engaged a lot together on that. It's one of our most vibrantly funded and resourced campaigns. And just the commitment by our board vis-a-vis the grants that we put out to states, I think, is a really critical component. And again, there we are very sensitive to helping states get what they need in pretty big financial ways, especially on scope of practice, identified as a huge priority for our physicians across the country, for our board especially. That's been really rewarding work, actually, because the work that the states are doing is fantastic, and they're successful, largely.
Mm-hmm. That grant program, I think, is a fantastic opportunity, and we hope Hawaii will be in a position where we can, you know, put forward a proposal that will be well received.
I strongly encourage you to do that. You know, we've seen an evolution. The scope of practice partnership is a collaborative. State and specialty societies all rowing in the same direction on scope of practice issues, defeating inappropriate scope expansions like psychologists prescribing, optometrists performing surgery, nurse practitioners, you name it now. You know, we've got PAs, we've got pharmacists wanting to act like primary care pharmacists, all of it. And, you know, we recognize every state is unique and different, and we help you how we can. But the scope of practice partnership is a really incredible, again, collaboration. The AMA was able to convene these folks coming out of a little bit of a conflict back in 2006 and recognizing that we needed space together to be able to hammer out some of these issues and figure out what medicine needs so that all of us are working and rowing in the same direction. And so we were able to do that, and that has grown. I was actually part of the development of the Scope of Practice Partnership when it started with a former CEO. And it's been incredible to see, like, how it's evolved. The AMA's Board of Trustees this past year recommitted to not only its existing financial commitment, but which was at $50,000 a year. Other specialty societies fund the Scope of Practice Partnership. This is an interesting thing, Mark. Mm-hmm. The specialty societies all contribute, the nationals contribute $25,000 a year to the Scope of Practice Partnership to fund the grants. The states, while members are not asked to fund the grants, because it's the fundamental idea is that state medical associations are lobbying on the ground. That's their contribution. And so the specialties who have deep interest in these scope issues all contribute money. So does the AMA. So does the American Osteopathic Association. And just last year, our Board of Trustees increased AMA contribution from $50,000 a year to $300,000 a year. Wow. And as a result of that, we were able to give out massive amounts of grants this year to fund the hiring of additional lobbyists to help create communications campaigns. And I will say one final thing. I know I'm talking a lot, but this issue gets me excited. Again, when you convene people like only the AMA, I think, can do, and organizations within medicine, now you've got incredible work being done, funded by these grants. State medical associations are really stepping up to the charge of figuring out vibrant communications campaigns. And then the cool part is that it's all shared. So you have access. And in fact, we've seen incredible growth of that so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel and start from scratch. You like what Michigan did. That looks good to you. Michigan, if they got a grant from the Scope of Practice Partnership, is happy to give you all the templated work so you can market like Hawaii and have the same messaging. You don't have to go through the same thing. Or, you know, they'll meet and have conference calls with you to tell you how they did this, how they, maybe you need to do your own survey, maybe you need to do your own thing. Here are the questions we used. Right. You don't have to spend time and money and resources with somebody to develop questions for the questionnaire. You've got it already. You might get different answers, and so then it kind of changes things slightly in terms of your communications. But the fundamentals, the underlying basis for these campaigns, all shareable and all for you.
It's really awesome, I have to say, and the quality of the exhibit, the things that you shared, for example, at this meeting, I mean, it really is high quality, and it's stuff that we can operationalize.
Thank you.
I want to make a comment, too. You know, AMA, you know, wow, it's this big organization. Mm-hmm. I think you have over 900 employees. You're in Chicago and D.C. and all that. But I have to say, it's been very easy to access because you always have a field representative assigned to every state specialty group. And that field representative has been just an amazing resource. Like, if I need to know something, but I really don't know who's the best contact, I can just go right to, you know, the field representative. And I have to say, too, your folks are very accessible. And if I reach out to one just because that's the person I have in my contact, if it's not the right person, they always are very happy to connect me with who the person is. So that's something that very much I appreciate.
Well, I have a deep respect for our field representatives and that department. Actually, funny fact, I started at the AMA as a field representative. Oh. I actually left the practice of law and desperately wanted to get into the Advocacy Resource Center, but knew I probably had to take a step in between. So took a risk and came to the AMA in a non-legal position, became a field representative for about 18 months, and got to learn about the Federation of Medicine and the specialty societies and some state medical associations. And so got to attend annual conferences and board meetings and listen and learn. And I think it prepared me really well for moving over eventually to the Advocacy Resource Center. But our field reps, their desks are right next to ours. We work with them really, really closely. And I think it's a little secret at the AMA, you know, I think for physicians, especially, always shocked how easy it is to get folks to respond, you know, whether it's letters written or phone calls made. We're actually, you know, once you know the number to call, we call back every physician that calls. Certainly executives from the states and the specialties and the staff, for sure. But even physicians, you know, any letter that gets written to the AMA that's advocacy oriented comes to the advocacy business unit. We respond to everyone, member or non-member, actually. Wow. A physician gets our attention, always. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you folks are very nimble, but now I also understand why your ARC is so customer friendly, because you started with that kind of engagement. I'm going to say that. I mean, I think that makes a difference.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I never really thought about that. And I started in the ARC, in the ARC, as a junior lawyer, and then became a senior lawyer, then the director, and now I'm the vice president. And I have to be honest, I never thought I'd stay at the AMA longer than 5 years. I just didn't think that. I was young when I started, and here I am. I feel like I'm like my father's generation, you know, but it's such exciting work. But I do have high expectations for my team and set a tone when it comes to the customer service side. I mean, we are nothing without our physician members, and we need their engagement and we need their involvement. We need all of us rowing together in the same direction and understanding now more than ever how necessary it is for us to come together, be together, to advocate together for the profession, for our patients. If we don't do it, nobody else is going to. Right. Nobody else is going to advocate for physicians if they don't advocate for themselves. And we've got this benefit of this federated model, this incredible model that's there to support physicians with people with deep expertise and real belief in the mission and vision of the medical associations in general, and really proud to represent physicians in advocacy. And so here I am 20 years later, still excited and enthusiastic.
Absolutely.
Sometimes people think I'm a little bit off my rocker, but I get excited about this. I mean, we've been through a lot in the last 20 years. We're facing huge changes in healthcare. But, you know, I come to meetings like the one we just finished. I go to National Advocacy Conference in D.C. or our policymaking conferences, and I come out very hopeful because, yes, there are a lot of challenges for physicians. They're facing a lot. but that also means opportunity. And I think so long as we can, like I said, work together, rely on one another, learn from one another, we can together act in a way that really makes sure that we have generations of physicians that are taken care of.
Thank you. Your enthusiasm and energy and competence is just amazing. What a great combo.
Thank you.
I have to ask, you use the canoe analogy of several times, the boat rowing in the same direction, which we love to use in Hawaii.
Oh, okay, good.
Plus your name is Kai, which sounds very Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Commentary on that.
Yeah, funny. I always, okay, so here we are talking so nobody can see me. I can guarantee you I don't look very Hawaiian. And I get that question all the time, asking me if I'm Hawaiian, and and your beautiful state, and it's one of my favorite places. But no, I'm not Hawaiian. And in fact, my full name is Makaila, and people call me Kai for short. I'm actually first-generation American. My parents escaped a communist invasion in 1969 in the state of Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic. And I was fortunate enough for them to decide to come to the United States and build their family here. I was born a short 6 months after they got here. So now I'm not Hawaiian, but I love your state.
We'll make you an honorary citizen.
I hope so. I feel it
Hawaii,
there. There's such a beautiful, beautiful state. And I just wanted to also say I'm so sorry for the wildfires and what's happening in your beautiful state. Love Maui so much and people of Hawaii. And really, they're in my thoughts and prayers.
Well, thank you so much. I know our community on Maui, all of Hawaii, really appreciates the kindness. And so many people here at this meeting reached out and asked about how things are in Hawaii, and I appreciate that. Again, consideration, what we'd say, it's a real sense of like Ohana family being here.
Yes,
so thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Kai, thank you so much for spending this time with us and with our listeners, and thank you so much for all the work that you and AMA does for our physicians.
Well, Mark, I'm happy to be here, and I have to just shoot a compliment back to you. Your medical association is very lucky to have you. You're an incredible advocate for them, and I hope your physicians realize that. It's a pleasure to work with you, and I just encourage all physicians in Hawaii to join the medical association. Again, your medical association is nothing without its members. You represent them every day, and you're doing an incredible job. And like I said, it's just a tremendous honor to do the work that I do for this incredible profession. And I just appreciate the ability to be able to communicate what my small and mighty little unit does on a day-to-day basis. We're really proud of our work and just excited for what's to come. Thank you.
And we're just so proud to be a part of the AMA Federation. Without you folks, we just could not do anything of what we're doing. So
thank you
again.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you for listening to HMA Connect. To learn more about the Hawaii Medical Association and future podcasts, please visit hawaiimedicalassociation.org.